Hello.
Good morning.
Okay, go ahead and count to five for me.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Test, test, test.
Okay. And what are we going to do today?
Well, I guess it did come out yesterday that the Federal Reserve has completely backtracked on what they initially were talking about. And
okay, FOMC, that stands for Fed, we set interest rate people or something, right?
Yeah, open market committee.
Yeah.
Open, yeah, just like George Soros, open.
Yeah. What is it they're going to do that's going to change anything? I have they run out of bullets in their holster? I mean, what's going to happen, you think?
Well, it's like if you know the destination, then you know the journey, and I knew all along that this is what was going to eventually happen. It's
well,
even,
what? Well, what's going to happen?
That they had to backtrack, because what I was setting up for initially was that come October was sort of the perfect storm of everything kind of coalescing together, and what we've seen is that we've only seen the perfect storm was only around for about 2 months before they had to backtrack everything. And nobody cared in the run-up to it. Everybody thought, oh,
backtrack
well.
What? You know, backtrack doing away with quantitative easing or something, put money, and we're gonna, you know, pay off our debt, pay off, sell, do, kind of stop buying something, and then they change their mind, or they were never going to be able to sustain it. I mean, you know, which issue are you talking about? Interest rates, everything, what?
There's three things. So one of them was interest rates. So they said that that was going to keep going up. The other one was having assets rolling off their balance sheet. They just announced yesterday that's going to be ending at the end of the year.
Okay, I want to understand that. That I need to know more about what that means. And Bob Anderson's in here. Say hello.
Morning,
hello.
Bob.
Hello.
Okay, hello. You can get your headphones on stuff. Mm-hmm. Be somebody. All right, we're going to sit here and get learnified by Tim, he's going to tell us every little thing.
I just woke up, so I'm trying to just process the information now.
I know, I got up late, too. You know, this is what I'm still trying to get all jet laggy fixed. I didn't know how you do that, other than toe carpet like Bruce Willis or something.
Yeah, no, you stay up to complete exhaustion.
Oh, is that what it is?
Yes.
They'll fix you?
Yeah. 30 years of shift work. That's what you got to do, man.
That's right. Wonderful. All right. So when we come back, I need FOMC explain, what's on their spreadsheet and how they're liquidating and when they're not and whatever. Here we go.
The producers also added that Oscar the Grouch is neither male nor female and that its trash can is designed to hide a lower body that is just a Lovecraftian monstrosity of hundreds of interlocking penises and vaginas.
This is the Onion News Network.
And now, live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember. I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here!
Definitely concerned here on Declare Your Independence of the Year's Hancock here in Phoenix, Arizona, from the BEAU Default Studios of Freedoms of the Nash, Freedoms Phoenix of the Dock Home. The Liberty Advisor, Tim Pichot, is going to help us understand what's up. There's a bunch of terms, different things that you'll hear about, these places that, have influence on interest rates and the economy and money supply. And then I'm going to. Who are these people? What are they doing? What they say they're going to do, then they decided not to do, and what are they doing? you know, and in, you know, Mr. Bob Anderson, Mr. Robert Anderson, Mr. Anderson, say hello.
Hello.
So we got, you know, a lot that we're going to be working on and doing and stuff. The big thing is put in Donna's birthday present, which is a garage door opener. Ours went out and she got, you know, another vehicle for real estate and everything. And it's not new, but it's really nice. It's been garaged and we can get that bad boy in there. So we'll take care of that for her. Happy birthday yesterday. And she's, I don't know how old, don't care. You get in trouble when you say that stuff. So, Tim.
She looks mighty fine for 35.
Mighty fine. She's dressing up. She must knew you was coming. All right. Now, Tim, what I need to know is I need you to help me out and give me the, I'm looking to have an understanding. I keep seeing FOMC up there telling me that it's important what they're going to have to say about something and explain it to me. Who are these people?
Good morning, everybody. So the FOMC is the Federal Open Market Committee, and it's the 12 different governors of the Federal Reserve System. And then you've got, I believe it's seven of them, or maybe four of them. I can't remember the exact number who vote on this. So it's not actually all of them actually don't vote in the process. It's only...
Okay, whoa. The process and voting and how many they are and how that... Who the hell are these people? These board... You know, explain how the Federal Reserve works and this board of what... And then the sub-board of boards. You know, so give me a beat on it so people understand what the Federal Reserve and how it's managed or whatever.
So there's 12 branches of the Federal Reserve Bank. So they're in like New York, Cleveland, Philly, Dallas, Minneapolis, Chicago, Richmond, Atlanta, San Francisco, I think Boston's another one, Dallas. So you've got different Federal Reserve branches and there's satellite branches of those. Now, what they do is there's, I believe there's five branches that vote, and they have on a rotating basis. So it's saying in 2020, it's going to be New York, Cleveland, Philly, Dallas, and Minneapolis. Then in 2021, it's going to be New York, Chicago, Richmond, Atlanta, San Francisco. And what you've noticed is that it's always New York has a permanent voting seat. And so it's basically, for the most part, it's almost all ex-Goldman Sachs guys who are voting on this. And then you also have the Jerome Powell, who's the Federal Reserve chair, and then you've got the vice chair that they get automatic votes as well. And essentially what they're doing is they try to plot out 1 year, 2 year, 3 year, and then
will be, want to be, predict to be. I don't understand what that – I've seen your plots that they put – each one of these governors. See, that first thing, before we even get into that, this idea that the Federal Reserve has these, what was the mindset behind having these federal governor reserve banking things in these cities? Because they want to give the impression that it's a regional thing, that's a government by state. But that is BS. These guys do whatever the hell they want, you know, based on whatever New York tells them or something. You know, having these satellite things geographically around the country means what? The Goldman Sachs guy in Chicago came from New York. The guy in San Francisco probably came from New York. The guy that's in, you know, St. Louis probably came from New York. I mean, what's the difference?
Yeah, I mean, if you guys remember, it's a few years back, you had Timothy Geithner, who used to be the New York Fed chair, and then he ended up then becoming the Treasury Secretary. So I mean, and then before him, I believe it was Hank Paulson, who was the Treasury Secretary, who used to also be former Goldman Sachs. And so you got this huge incestuous relationship between all these guys. But with the dot plots, it's more of a hopeful cheerleading of this is how rosy the future is going to be and this is what we predict. But everything they've been talking about going over years and years has always been wrong. I mean, just if you go back to 2012, I mean, they would have said that by 4 years ago, the rates would have already been closer to 5% by now. So we're talking 4 years ago, they said the rates were going to be they're over 100% wrong and on over 100% longer timeline. But for some reason, And this is the reason why I named a presentation in January 2017, The Trump Effect and Why Good News is Bad News, is because the entire premise was that all of this, you know, quote-unquote, air-quote, good news that was coming out meant that now the Federal Reserve would lose the excuse not to raise rates. That excuse would then mean interest rates would lose the excuse not to raise rates. That excuse would then mean interest rates would start going up. It means for other programs like rolling assets off their balance sheet, which we'll get back to. That meant that there was no excuse to stop that as well. And then what we saw in October, everything sort of coalesced together where you had, I believe it was October 3rd, Jerome Powell came out and said that the interest rates increases are on autopilot. He also said that that was also the month where the bonds rolling off the balance sheet accumulated upwards of $50 billion a month. So prior to that, I think it started off like a $10 billion, then they waited a quarter and rose it to $20 billion,
talking technical without me understanding exactly what you're talking about. When you're talking about, now you have the governors that they have a rotating block of a number of five that with a permanent vote of the president, the vice president, or the chair, vice chair, and of the president, the vice president, or the chair, vice chair, and New York, and then they rotate on some out here. So how many does it take to get a majority on this committee to be able to implement whatever it is that they want to do?
It looks like four. So let's say
okay. So
five.
They already got three out of the five. They're done. Okay. So they're not letting this go to chance. They just other guys get to sit in on the meeting. They're told what's happening. So what's happening is, and I need to understand this balance sheet thing. This is something that I thought that the Fed was not. It's in and of itself was ever to buy anything. They were just like the facilitator or the bookie or the broker. They're not like an interested insider. You want to talk about insider trading, man? That's insider trading. These guys are trading on whatever they're doing. So when you say they getting rid of their bonds and these, bond is a debt, and they have on their balance sheet. Well, I thought that the Fed, and the Federal Reserve takes all this toxic waste stuff that they had when the banking system was going down, and they just bought it dollar for dollar. Now we have it, and then they forgive it, and the people just paid for it, and they go get their bonuses and whatever the hell. And I'm going, what the hell? They got this. So then you say, well, they're clearing off their balance sheet. Are they just evaporating it? It's just going away? Are they selling it to somebody? And how are they clearing it? And how this became a new mechanism for them to rule the economy or so? How far off am I? Am I kind of got a beat on this thing?
Yeah, I mean, what the Fed wants to do versus what they are actually going to do is two separate things.
So I just want to know what they can do. My thing is that when they take on their balance sheet, let me just ask simple questions. When the Fed says we're going to take on our balance sheet, as if they were supposed to have something they were supposed to put on the balance sheet. We've always had the power to buy somebody's debt, and put it on our balance sheet that the taxpayer, owes us for. When did that happen? What does that mean? Where did they get it? When they're taking it off of their balance sheet, how are they taking it off? Are they just forgiving the debt? Are they selling it to somebody? Who the hell's buying it? How do they, I need to understand them. You know what, audience? Today's the day. Grandpa gets to ask the questions. Tim's going to answer them. And even I'm going to understand, which means probably you'll understand. Because it's happening right now. We need to know.
From the second letter of Captain Mark. Any pirate knows that commerce is communication. Markets condense oceans of information into a single price. Innovations in communication are circumventing the scrutiny of the crown. This signals a change in the coin of the realm. The crown uses digital currency to surveil, censor, seize, and destroy wealth at will. So pirate currency must protect us from this weaponized money. We need to move funds further, faster, cheaper, and without third-party observation, basing decisions on an accelerating flow of information. So pirates require nearly instantaneous transactions with no arbitrary limits on volume or artificial influences on fees. Most importantly, a pirate currency must preclude centralization. Otherwise, it will become another link in our chain to the crown. A superior currency will result in the obsolescence of the coin of the realm and the extinction of the crown itself. Trade above the grid. Join us at PiratesWithoutBorders.com.
Okay, how much we got? A couple minutes here. All right, Bob, try to as you understand this and so we can ask. When we come back, Tim, I'm going to be asking you specific questions like this. You keep going on in the quantitative bond and the erasing and doing forgiving of what, that'll mean nothing. I need to understand the mechanism because it didn't used to. I need to understand the mechanism because it didn't used to be like this, was it?
I didn't think so. So, Tim, did they ever, were they buying their own debt at any time before the 2008 fiasco?
They did have a really small balance sheet.
Oh, but they had a balance sheet. So you're saying there's a chance.
Yeah, because, I mean, after the 2008 is when they were, you know, going out on the market trying to sell, you know, 30-year bonds or 10-year bonds or whatever the hell they're selling, and nobody was buying them, or they weren't being able to sell enough, so they were buying their own debt, which seemed like, really?
Now, who is buying it? The Federal Reserve?
That was my understanding, is basically they were like, who wants to buy this nice bond? And they would buy it themselves because nobody else would.
Well, this is what would happen. I remember they put it up, nobody would do it, and all of a sudden at the last minute or next day or in the hole, you had some secret buyer from the Cayman Islands or somebody that bought something. So sitting on the sidelines, and I'm going, well, of course they're buying it themselves or discounting it to someone else. Happened, you know, and then they try and hide it. Now they don't even hide it anymore. They just put a name on it.
Right. Well, I mean, you know, the people they're selling the bonds for is the government. You know, so the government, they can't sell the bonds. The government have the money. Well, that ain't gonna cut it. Government's got to have their money.
So, can you walk us through it? Because when you're talking about FOMC and the committee and the balance sheet and they're reducing and putting up and everything, without understanding what that means, it doesn't mean anything to me. You're just speaking Greek.
Yeah, I mean, I wasn't like super prepared to have this conversation this morning. I just wanted to kind of point out the what the Fed has backtracked on and what that means for, I guess, the stock market and the economy. So I just woke up and like just read this.
I need the mechanism. I mean, you can do that for me, right?
Yeah, I mean, at a super high level. I mean, it's
I want to understand high level anyway. All right, so just be ready. They got this.
LRN.fm for a free bumper sticker, flyers, banners, graphics, and more. Promote.LRN.fm.
To be a part of the show, call 602-264-2800. 602-264-2800. And now, Ernest Hancock.
I'm the champion of that. Who else can do that? Okay, this is one thing. Tim Pachot's going to help us. Help us. First thing is I got to understand what the hell is... Bob and I remember that it was always they didn't have a balance sheet. There was no such thing as a balance sheet. The Fed didn't do that. They didn't manipulate. They didn't. Then you get this presidential committee on we're going to rule you thing. Hank Paulson's sheet. There was no such thing as a balance sheet. The Fed didn't do that. They didn't manipulate. They didn't. Then you get this presidential committee on we're going to rule you thing. Hank Paulson comes in and the world's going to implode by Monday because Goldman Sachs won't be able to make their payments. So, you know, it's your brains or your signature is going to be on this document. I remember Wells Fargo goes, we're good. You know, at the time, they were like, we're not going to play. We don't need to tell. They go, oh, no, you are. You ain't leaving this room kind of thing. So Hank Paulson, Goldman Sachs, and all these guys, they'd go, you're going to play and sign here. So there was so much shenanigans going on, and a willing participant had to be the government, had to be the banking system, had to be Wall Street, and all of a sudden, all this crap that they had accumulated, two things had to happen. There was the shorting, you know, the big short and all that kind of stuff. You know, who was going to pay off on these was AIG. AIG was like, they hate saying insurance, but it was over here. $10 million investment, $100 million payoff if this happened, whatever. So a lot of those were owed to Goldman Sachs. Right at the end, they knew what they were doing, but AIG was going out and they had to have a bailout of AIG so they could write the check to Goldman Sachs. That's what was going on. And they're like, woo, if they can't write the check, then we don't get the money and we go down. And the whole banking system goes down as if that was a bad thing, which they really meant Goldman Sachs. So then they had some kind of a thing with the U.S. Government and the Federal Reserve, where the Federal Reserve bought all those toxic assets, gave them dollar for dollar, not even we didn't even get a discount deal on stuff they were just going to forget. Oh, by the way, they kicked you out of your home. Okay, it'd been cheaper just to pay off everybody's house. It would have been cheaper to pay off everybody's mortgage and be done with it. No, 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 no. So I need to know, Tim, help me out. Tim, help me out. This balance sheet that they get, whose balance sheet? The Federal Reserve? That's controlled by what? New York and these voter guys? And we have the FOMC changing interest rates. Who the hell's in charge of this thing? What balance sheet? They're releasing it. They're clearing off their balance. How are they clearing off? Are they selling it? Are they just forgiving it? They're writing it off? So you got to explain some of these things to me.
First off, they were going to be selling this off indefinitely, and it was supposed to be on autopilot just as recently as basically December. And now what they've come out and said that by the end of the year, that process is going to be no more. I don't know the exact date when they're going to stop because I woke up right before I came on air.
Okay, stop what? Stop liquidating what's on their balance sheet?
Yeah, so what they were is every month they were allowing $50 billion of securities. Some of it was mortgages. Some of it was, the Fed owns. Some of it was mortgages. Some of it was, the Fed owns mortgages. Some of it were treasury securities where they were, what they were doing is they were buying, as it was maturing, they were then buying it back. So then that way, basically the monetary supply wouldn't shrink. And so now what they were doing, they decided, okay, well, we can't really handle that. So what we have to do now is, they're probably, I think they set out a certain schedule where they're going to taper it back. So they're doing the reverse of what they did before. So before they started off with, let's say, $10 billion, then went to 20 and 30, 40, 50. Now I believe they're doing the opposite and going back down where they're essentially, as bonds come mature, they're not letting it just go off the balance sheet anymore. Now what they're going to start doing again is going to start buying some of those bonds back. And I'm reading a Zero Hedge article right now that I think is somewhere close to, I'm trying to find it, they're estimating $180 billion they're going to buy next year, when initially they were going to be selling. We're going to sell $600 billion to, hey, we're actually going to be buying.
Okay, I'm going to ask the question again. Who's we? You know, we're going to buy the Federal Reserve. There's some balance sheet. They got a little, you know, piece of paper, a ledger somewhere that says we bought and we're selling, you know, this stuff because we can. Who the hell's we? The Federal Reserve, which is America and New York and these guys voting that all of a sudden they can buy and sell bonds. They're supposed to facilitate the bonds going out to other sovereign entities, you know, other people. People are buying the debt. You know, well, then they just like, we bought it and then printed the money for it? I mean, how do they do that?
I mean, it's technically the Treasury that's supposed to do that stuff. And so, essentially, I was taking a class in the Federal Reserve in 2007, 2008, like as all the, before all this stuff started blowing up. And I remember our teachers talking about, you know, like the worst thing that can happen for confidence is the banks having to borrow from the Federal Reserve because that's the buyer of last resort. And then and they made it sound like it's something that's never going to happen. And here, you know, ends up happening, you know, about 6 months later after I was taking all these classes. And so part of the reason why they wanted to force these other banks that didn't necessarily need it was as like kind of like a show of unity of, you know, yeah, we didn't want to be like the one holdout over here making everybody else look bad or worse. But essentially what it means for people out there is initially, you know, we were told this is the greatest economy in the history of the world. I mean, Trump's still out there recently, you know, talking about how great things are and that this is, you know, an economic miracle. And it just came out that I believe that they are expecting the total GDP for the entire year, like this year going forward, to be 2.1%. So, I mean, last year around this time, they were talking about, you know, 5%, 4%.
Yeah, blah, blah, blah. I don't give a crap what they say. It's all BS anyway, and I wouldn't understand it and doesn't mean anything. What I'm looking at is the principle of it. For the first time in my lifetime when they did this, I remember when you libertarians start learning about the Federal Reserve, it's private, blah, 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 I can't find it in the blue pages. It's an entity that they got their own like government thing going on. So I'm going, all right, well, what are they supposed to do? Who are they? What's the deal? Well, they like the distribution system for, you know, spreading the money out amongst their banks and the debt and kind of doing the bonds, and they could, you know, pay no attention. They're the mob bookie back there, and you just, you know, supposed to do what they say. And I'm going, okay, well, one of the things that they don't do is they don't buy debt. They don't have all these, they don't control the market. Well, yeah, they got to do full employment. You know, that's their mandate, is to have full employment. So that's the excuse for all this stuff that they do. And I'm going, everything that they're doing is making it worse. They're manipulating the market with interest rates. They're manipulating it with supply of money and, you know, assets and credit and debt and all this. And they get to loan it into existence and then have it that we got to pay back with interest. And I'm going, just give me a freaking crypto wallet. I'm done. I you know, stuff and investment in the future and inflation. I don't believe anything they say. So the FOMC comes out now, in addition to with how much assets are going to flood into the market or not. Then they're talking about and interest rates. So what is, you know, how does interest rates play into this? And they make a decision based on what?
Well, they make a decision based on what the stock market can or can't handle. And so then the stock
based
market
on started... what? What the hell does that mean?
Well, if the stock market's going down and they, them, those are losing money or temporarily, because what they see is when you have a stock market that is going up, people then feel richer. They've been told how great things are. And then when the stock market starts going down and all of a sudden, you know, the richest people in the world have lost, you know, trillions of dollars last year. All of a sudden it's, you know, pause for concern, pause on this policy. And they completely backtracked 180 degrees from
everything. Right, we're going to find it. We have a little better understanding, I hope, I guess. We'll come back. Talk about it some more. We'll be right back.
Since time began.
You see my point? Everybody keeps talking about this. And I remember as a kid, you know, you start learning about the Federal Reserve. It was always, oh, they don't do that. They wouldn't do that. That's not their job. And they go, you know, it's our job now. Freaking got a piece of paper saying it's our job. You know, so all this stuff that was never to happen is now like commonplace. Well, that's how you do business. Didn't you know that, boy? Dummy? You know? So all that stuff, like you say, you come out of school learning all this, everything they said that wasn't going to happen, you couldn't do, they did. So it's like, you know, so anything you learned is just total bullshit anyway.
I was being taught in 2008 that the measures that were put in place after the dot-com bubble basically prevented, ensured that there wouldn't be another terrible recession ever again. I was being taught this in 2008.
Well, yeah. What else are they going to tell you?
Did you get your money back for that class?
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
The one thing. So, what's the upside or downside of them maintaining this balance sheet? I mean, you said they reversed it, so now they're going to start.
Goldman Sachs doesn't go bankrupt.
Well, so they're letting the balance sheet get bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. I mean, could they just, you know, basically? It sounds like they're holding it kind of off the books. It's in their book. How long can, you know, I mean, is there any downside if they just let this grow forever? I mean, as long as they're the ones holding it, they're basically holding this toxic investment or debt or whatever it is. If they don't ever try to, you know, clear it, what's the downside?
Well, I mean, it's also like we're not having this happen in a vacuum. So as this is going on, the deficit's also ballooning and expanding, meaning that they're going to have to keep doing this even to a greater extent.
My point exactly. I mean, could they just continue to do this forever? Because we are going to, you know, they're talking, we're going to have, you know, $40 trillion deficits here.
Education overcharge fund in Arizona. You know, it went from like nothing to, you know, a couple $100 million that was just kind of, you know, they took it from the education growing and growing. And I remember Napolitano and Simon, you know, and I did lawsuits to Arizona Supreme Court on this stuff and outed a bunch of crap. But they were just like, yeah, we can do this indefinitely. This check kite, you know, month. But what happened is the interest rates on doing that and the bank charges for doing that exceeded the constitutional limit of $350,000 in debt. Because they said it wasn't a debt. And I go, yeah, but the interest on it is you are unconstitutional. And they go, God, I hate when Ernie does that shit, you know. But the thing was, is they don't care. They just really go, yeah, we dismiss, we can do it.
Well, yeah, and I mean,
unlimited debt.
We got to assume that, you know, the government's going to do that. So what's the downside of it if they never try to clear this debt? It's just a number.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
What's the downside to it? I mean, could they conceivably?
We owe it to ourselves.
They conceivably go to be $100 gazillion. I mean,
Then what, Tim?
Yeah. When does finally something fall apart and the whole place comes down? What's the downside to it? I mean, could they conceivably?
We owe it to ourselves.
They conceivably go to be $100 gazillion. I mean,
Then what, Tim?
Yeah. When does finally something fall apart and the whole place comes down?
Well, that's the final destination. Is that that's eventually what's going to happen? So, as part of this journey, everything they talked about a few months ago is going to have to be reversed. So, there's three different things going on here. You've got the bond market, the dollar, and the stock market. And so temporarily what they've done is every time the stock market goes down, they choose to save the stock market. But in the long run, you can't save all three, at least in my opinion. So if they want to save the stock market, they've got to keep the interest rates low. They've got to, you know, keep buying bonds to then help, you know, keep all these zombie companies alive, especially over in Europe, like the Deutsche Banks of the world. But eventually, you know, if you keep having, you know, these, you know, it's going to get to the point we're going to have, you know, $2, $3, $4 trillion deficits or more. And you know, like zero hedge in a long enough timeline, you know, everything dies.
All right, here we go.
And now, live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
We're back on Declare Your Independence, Mr. Robert Anderson, and Tim Pachoke from the Liberty Advisor. Now, we're all friends and, you know, make use of Tim's stuff, so I need to have an understanding. The thing is that when you're older guy and you remember all this stuff, they tell, just like in school, they tell you, you know, this will never and always, and kind of doesn't mean anything. After a while, you start to go, they just do whatever they're going to do. You know, so what they're doing now is... this FOMC, I keep seeing this. I go, what is FOMC? Who the hell is that? Well, it's a subcommittee of the Federal Reserve governors here in America that determine, you know, they're going to tell everybody what the interest rate's going to be or what the, you know, something. So now they have all these different mechanisms and dials that they created. They created a new dial, another dial on top of the dial with some dials. And they're, you know, flipping switches and pushing buttons and moving slides and turning dials. What are the dials that they have available that they're starting to play with now, Tim?
Well, the dials that they're playing with is, you know, what was originally quantitative tightening, which was originally quantitative easing, is they're going back to the playbook of having to buy bonds again, you know, at least to ensure that they're not going to be rolling off the balance sheet because they need to basically keep this whole Ponzi scheme, house of cards.
Okay, rolling off
8 years. So yeah, let's say it's a 3-year bond.
Okay, a 3-year bond. You got a 3-year bond and it comes due. When it comes due, you got to pay it or something, right?
Yeah, and so now what they're doing is they're not extinguishing the debt and they're just buying it back again. So it's what Bernanke several years ago said that they were not going to be monetizing the debt and that absolutely this is not going to happen. And you're a tinfoil hat conspiracy theorist if you're talking about it potentially happening, and now it's happening. So, you know, it's just, but it's just crazy because, you know, you can be right about this stuff all the way along and then, you know, gotten wrecked, you know, financially, but because that's why, you know, I had the strategy that I had laid out where, you know, don't think rationally about all this stuff because, you know, a lot of people think that, oh, well, if, you know, things are getting worse, well, then the stock market's going to do bad. Well, unfortunately, it's like there's been so much bad news lately, but the bad news means that the Fed can't raise rates, which is, quote, unquote, good news. Bob's question is there's three things that the Federal Reserve is trying to save. They're trying to save the bond market, the stock market, and the dollar, but they can't save all three, so they have to pick one. And so temporarily, you know, it's like they're, you know, in this hot potato right now, and so temporarily what they've seen is that the stock market started going down, and so that then all of a sudden shatters confidence in the average American person if they see, and it also, you know, means that Trump has a harder time getting reelected. So he was on Powell's butt and telling him to, you know, basically reverse course and calling him out big time on this, and it just became way too obvious, I think, that the Federal Reserve would have definitely taken the blame if they hadn't done this. I mean, in my opinion,
hadn't done what?
If they hadn't reversed course. So back in October, they said that the rate increases were on autopilot, that the bonds rolling off the balance sheet was on autopilot. And
okay, now when they roll off, you got to explain this stuff. The bonds that have come due that they have on their balance sheet, I got this bond. It becomes what? Mature, it's due, it rolls off. It's going to what? It's going to go, I have to what? What am I doing with that? It evaporates.
Yeah.
The money, this debt goes somewhere or somebody for something. You know, what happens to it? If it rolled off, what would happen? What number would change where? What are you talking about?
Their balance sheet, I believe, got to like $4.5 trillion or like $4.65 trillion. And now they're projecting that it will end once they fully capitulate on this, that they think they'll keep around $3.75 trillion. So, which is astronomical number compared to what it was before they started doing all this crap, where I think it was about half a trillion or maybe 800 billion before before the 2008 debacle. Now, I don't know the whole history of when all this started and when.
Okay, but no, I still don't understand what happens to it. I got $1 trillion in a, is it an asset. That means I own. I got $1 trillion in a. Is it an asset? That means I own a debt or so. I got something here, and now it becomes due. And then that something went where? To whom? What happened to it? Somebody got paid for something. What? Where did the money move?
I mean, they could have paid themselves off with it. I mean, if they own it, then they use other money they have to then pay themselves back. I mean, this is all stuff where, you know, no one's been taught what happens because this is, you know, some, they're basically just making this stuff up as they go.
No, that's my point. Like, I got $1 trillion that I put into circulation. I bought this bond. If the Fed has this bond, this debt, they're holding it. That meant that they paid for it or something. They printed money. They, you know, they conjured it up and they put it out there. And then all of a sudden it comes due. Well, they're going to get paid for it. Somebody's got to pay them for this debt. You know, give me my money in interest. Well, who does that? You know, we'll print money and pay ourselves. And then it goes out. I'm going, this is just BS. I don't even understand even just math. It just doesn't. I have no idea what the hell's going on. It's not explained to me. I need to know.
Maybe you can be on the FOMC because they have no idea what's going on either. So it's just an absolute joke. But you know, if they want to keep pulling this crap, well, it's going to be good for it'll be quote unquote good for the bond markets, or AKA people that need to issue bonds, because it then distorts the interest rates and makes companies.
They're spending the people's credit card to make this work. That's the point I'm making. All this has to go somewhere. Money comes from somewhere to pay for this thing that needs to be paid for, because I got a piece of paper. Somebody owes me money. Who's going to pay that thing? The taxpayer. Oh, with interest. To the Fed that prints it. And I'm going, I mean, all this stuff, you're not allowed to talk, you're not allowed to, you know, discredit the government in any way, form of whatever, because the economy's going to take a dump. This is what I believe is the motivation behind all this control, because I think it's going to go, because it can't not, because what they're doing is they just continually get the taxpayer to make this scheme work by indebting them with these bonds, and you just keep throwing more money into the system, which causes inflation, prices go up. It's a spiral. We're in the death spiral. How do you get out of this?
You don't. There is no way out of this, and that's why when Trump is giving every, and this is my greatest frustration with Trump, and is the fact that, you know, it's like a new day for America and everything is great, everything is saved, and I said all along, going back to my very first podcast I ever made, was if Donald Trump has 1,000 things on his agenda and he gets done with new day for America and everything is great, everything is saved, and I said all along, going back to my very first podcast I ever made, was if Donald Trump has 1,000 things on his agenda and he gets done with 999 and he doesn't do anything about the Federal Reserve, I don't give two shits about anything else, because all he will have done was bought us, you know, 2 years or 4 years or 8 years time, and then it's then
and a worse reset. Right back.
Yeah, and then it's going to be even worse, because now the Democrats are going to be the ones in charge and everything collapses. I wanted him to be the one that picked up the pieces, not to be the one that injected us with more, you know, morphine to keep the patient alive. So then that way, you know, the quote-unquote free market capitalism ends up getting the blame. And I see this happening from a mile away, so it's just so frustrating.
I wonder if that was the intent, or he just didn't know better or whatever. Bob, what you were going to say?
Now, you know, when you're saying, well, what do you do with this? It's like you buy food and guns, because right. It is going to get ugly.
Yeah, it's a bread and butter thing.
You know, you look at Venezuela, it's going
to
get ugly.
Yeah, Venezuela, I don't even want to. Am I allowed not to care?
Yeah, well, you know, everybody believes, well, it's communism. Well, not that socialism or communism is a good thing, but basically
as if we're any different.
They run out of money. Yeah, we're not any different.
They said we're going to do it different. We're talking about putting like 300,000 troops into Venezuela now, is something I heard.
What?
Oh, yeah. No, that's it. You saw that happen a month or so ago when they first started this. I was like, oh, here we go. We got another war going.
Now we got to have a guy that's going to be, we got to have, you know, our guy to be in charge.
As soon as China and Russia started being there, we went like, oh, we can't let that happen.
It's like entertainment. And all we can do is just, you know, start planning for our destination. And we take our journey.
We just got to outlast them.
I don't got to beat them.
Just got to outlast them.
I just got to keep breathing in and out longer than them. All right. More understanding from Tim Pichot, the Liberty Advisor, on what the hell is going on and how it's going to affect your future. Crimes of the Crown by Captain Mark.
walks the world in shadow and claims to be our guiding light. Cowards clamor for security from boogeymen and ghost stories, while I say these hobgoblins are imaginary. I say those they propped up as our liberators are now subsisting on our bondage. I say there is freedom in the black, and that's exactly where we intend to go. The Crown banishes its own officers for exposing its crimes and tortures dissidents to the brink of madness. It dominates the globe and swallows the wealth of generations, leaving only blood and excrement. The Crown calls it piracy to explore frontiers beyond its grasp. So the time has come for us to define the conduct among pirates. I say the Crown has trampled our necks long enough. Need decentralized solutions to centralized problems? Looking for a community of like-minded scoundrels? Or just want some swag to let the Crown know what you think of it? Join the conversation at piratswithoutborders.com. We won't be hard to find.
Turns into something.
All right, Tim. You see where I'm going. I need to understand the mechanism of this, because we're talking trillions of dollars of a mechanism that wasn't there before. And now that we saw it here with the Education Rollover Fund is what they called it. And it wasn't until I filed suit that anybody even knew it existed. And I'm going, look, this little $10 million little cash, you know, the mechanism that they got, that they had under, I think Bruce Babbitt did a little bit of it in the early 80s. And then it kind of sat there, and then it exploded. It was $185 million during Simon. Then we got them to pay it off. Then Napolitano came, and then it's God knows what it is now. I mean, you know, it just got filed the suit again, and they, yeah, we don't care. So it just demonstrated to me, you know, that they can do whatever the hell they want. And I'm wondering, you know, this new checking account, who buys it? Who sells it? Because we have Russia and China deleveraging. They're not only not buying theirs, they're selling theirs. So they sell theirs, they get their cash, they go buy gold with it. Then you have this mechanism of them having to buy it themselves through the Cayman, whatever. I saw in the mid-2000s, you know, when this was starting to happen from 07, even before that, they were talking about, that's what a good thing is. You go to Freedom's Phoenix, you go in the Economy International in USA, in that category, and you go back, you know, from 06, 07, 08, and you see this. You see them, what they were doing and what they were prying, how they were doing it. It was, and they're making up new terms. That's one of the benefits of having all this and going on IPFS, is that you see the chronology of them doing it in the Federal Reserve category I have on Freedom's Phoenix, which I'm going to do right now, as a matter of fact. You know? All right, here we come back.
Important. Love what we do? Please help support our international satellite channels at Patreon. Please help support our international satellite channels at patreon.lrn.fm. That's patreon.lrn.fm.
Rhodes? It's the Ernest Hancock Show. Where we're going, there aren't any roads.
What I'm going to do is on Freedom's Phoenix. I remember when all this crap was going on, and I'm going to, I'll show you right here. I go to Freedom's Phoenix, and I go contents by subject. And I, you know, we had economy and so on and Federal Reserve. I don't remember if we had a contents by subject. And I go Federal Reserve. I go, give me some Federal Reserves. Ooh, there you are. Hello. So I go there, and when do we start doing their category? We got 129 pages, and it's like 30, 50 a page. Go to the first page. Go back, way back machine, and we go in there, and we go, all right, 2007. All right, warnings, we're missed in U.S. loan meltdown. This is 8/20/07. Over a year before the big crash, okay? A slow-motion train wreck. Fed bails out banks. This is 8/11/2007, okay? This is a year before. Let's see. Your next landlord will speak Chinese. Ron Paul and Bernanke. New age town in U.S. embraces dollar alternative. Let's see. Okay. Let's see. Your next landlord will speak Chinese. Ron Paul and Bernanke. New age town in U.S. embraces dollar alternative. Let's see. Okay. Fed offers explanation for $5 billion surge but fails to provide documentation. This is a follow-up piece Freedom's Phoenix published. And we were covering this stuff. There you could see it all coming. You know, it was, you know, they were doing all these manipulations. Aaron Russo's America, Freedom the Fascism, only $1, you know, they were selling it. After 1,400 years, central bank policies and a changing market in family businesses, sell the farm and buy gold, blah, 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 blah. So all of this, we were, you know, the Federal Reserve and what they were doing, and Ron Paul was warning of, and it's happening, it's gotten worse. And I'm wondering, what the heck is next? What is the other thing that they're going to yank out of their butt? Now, you go to contents by subject, and you go into Federal Reserve, or you go into economics, and you go back to 10 years or more ago, and you watch it happen. And I'm going, you know, IMF says dollar overvalued. Banks earn $19 billion from overdraft fees this year. Recession concern spurs U.S. bond rally on Fed ease. Oh, here's one. For the first time since 1995, keep in mind, this is 07. For the first time since 1995, the U.S. bond market is rallying on the assumption that the Federal Reserve has relegated inflation to a secondary concern because the central bank views a recession as a much greater threat to the economy. So they're going in, all right, we don't care about inflation. We don't want a recession, so we're just going to be printing a bunch of money, and here it comes. And this is October 2007. I have seen this happen before my eyes. You could watch it, and I'm going, all right, now that they got a balance sheet, I have seen this happen before my eyes. You could watch it, and I'm going, all right, now that they got a balance sheet, it's trillions of dollars. That wasn't there before for them to roll over or forgive or debt. But well, I tell you what, for them to roll it over and pay for it again, they already spent that money. They're going to indebt the people again and put way more trillions of dollars into the system again. Why? To buy back what they put into the system before with a debt. It's just going to keep getting bigger. You know, how far off am I, Tim? I mean, that's what happens, right?
Well, as you mentioned before, if you know the destination, then you see the journey. And so the destination is, you know, trillions of dollars deficits. The destination is we've got a Social Security system that can't be paid. We've got a Medicare system that can't be paid. We've got even the top state and local government state pension fund in the country is 85% funded. And you've got like 25% funded. And so the destination is they're going to need the political expedient way to, quote unquote, solve all these problems is going to be able to print a whole bunch of money. And so this was never viable to begin with. However, that then digs themselves a deeper hole, because what they've got to do by buying up all these bonds is that then takes the bond interest rate and keeps it low basically forever, which then makes the pension funds even worse off, because then the pension funds have about 40% of their money in bonds, 50% in bonds right now. So they've got half their balance sheet or half their portfolio paying nothing. And so, you know, whatever they do on one side of the equation, you know, there's an equal and opposite reaction. So they do one thing over here, and then they end up, you know, effing up something else over here, and they go and try to fix that. And they've got to then, you know, so they're constantly putting fingers in the dam trying to figure out how to stop this overflow, but they're the ones making it worse. And there shouldn't even, and this is, you know, a big, unfortunately, you know, this topic is way over everyone's head. I mean, all the, you know, hardcore Trump supporters, they don't know anything about Federal Reserve.
No, I tell you what I'm looking at here. This is September of 07. Fed to cut rates again before January. History shows dollar holders are getting screwed again. Government bond traders who predicted six of the last seven recessions say the Federal Reserve will lower interest rates again before the end of the year as the economy comes to a standstill. This was a year before the big giant drop. Subprime lending to trigger world's worst financial crisis since 1929. Fed cuts interest rates. Another step in destroying the dollar. And a bold strike. Blah, blah, blah. Associated Press. Goldie, dollar. I mean, we could see this coming. It was a slow train wreck. And I'm screaming this. And nobody there going, oh, yeah, that's crazy. It never happened. Never happened. While you're in school at this time telling you it never happened. Okay? Well, it's happening. And it's way, way worse now than it was then. And they're going, how did you know? How could you not know? So
it's
what's going to happen?
Worse. It's also a lot worse than during the times of Jesus when he went in and whipped the money changers too. It's about a billion times, trillions of times worse than that. And what I'd recommend for people is, for those of you tuning into my podcast, you can go to thelibertyadvisor.com, upper right-hand corner, I think it says podcast. I don't have that website super up-to-date, but you can go and there's links for iTunes and Podbean and Google Play. And I've got a lot of different good resources and videos on this. So I've got a video that I came out with right around Christmas time called We Are All Slaves to Central Bankers, and I have a whole whiteboard video about how the Fed works. I also, about a week ago, came out with a video with Tom Hegna, who is widely considered like the top retirement guru in America. I mean, this guy charges like $10,000, $15,000 to give an hour presentation, but luckily I was connected with him through One Degree of Separation, so I was able to get the interview with him. And the interview is titled Why Rates Are Staying Low Forever. And it's because of everything we've talked about. But if you're a retiree, what does that mean for you? What does that mean for your portfolio? What does that mean for, hey, I was banking on, when I was saving in the 80s, I was banking on getting, 5%, 6%, 7% interest. Now I'm getting, 1% or 2%. What does that mean for your retirement? What can you do?
Yeah, when inflation's double digits.
That was a really good interview. I sat there and hustled through it, and it was
Tim's interview that you did with this guy.
I got some questions to ask you later.
Okay,
all right, we can do that.
I even made an animation at the end that brings over the math of some of these annuities, because annuities is a whole bit, just like crypto. I mean, there's 99% of the cryptos are probably a scam, and certain annuities for the wrong person. I think there's definitely a lot of shady salesmen that are out there. However, it should be a big part of people's portfolio or people's retirement. And what you want to do is you want to get a plan and then figure out what's the best way to implement their plan. Unfortunately, what people do is they buy a whole bunch of crap. They buy a whole bunch of different products. And they try to then piece together their products into some sort of plan. They do things backwards. So I'm glad that you liked that interview, Bob. I didn't know you watched it, but thank you for watching that. And unfortunately, not enough people have watched it. I mean, it's a great. I think it was a great interview. And
how the hell do you know if they watched it or not? You looking at some counter of the man?
Not enough robots have watched it.
That's one thing. How they influence you? They go, oh, that was really popular. Do more of that Britney Spears belly button ring stuff. Yeah. And they've got robots just clicking the crap.
Absolutely.
They influence you that way. And I don't care.
Never influenced me and what I'm putting on.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, it was a good interview. It's hard because they say some
dumb it down. You explain it to me like I'm a five-year-old, or a fifth grader or something like that. Because I'm going, off their balance sheet. They have a balance sheet? When did they have a balance sheet? How's the balance sheet? Well, how's the balance sheet work? How did they, fund the, what's on their balance sheet? It's a debt. They got, then they paid for it, right? With whose money? And then how do they get rid of it? They get money back. How do they do it? They just print it. I mean, I need this kind of crap explained to me because it's just so insidious. That was never supposed to happen. It's happening bigger. It's going to get worse. And they're going to do it more right up until, and in the end, the dollar's not worth anything.
Well, that's what
happens.
That's what they're doing. They're going to inflate the debt to nothing.
You see what I mean, Tim? When we come back, when we do this again and so on, I'd really like to get an explanation of this balance sheet. The balance sheet, the video, the movie. I mean, I need to understand that.
It's like when
you need to understand. You need to be able to explain to get an explanation of this balance sheet. The balance sheet, the video, the movie. I mean, I need to understand that.
It's like when
you need to understand. You need to be able to explain that to me. Because I am like, I mean, for you, it's just a side note of, it's just a number here that does here and they got it. I need it explained. It wasn't there before. Sure as shit, not to this number. And because people don't understand it, they just keep adding to it.
I've actually never even seen it explained anywhere either.
Be my freaking guest, or I'm going to have to get Corbett on it.
Did you ever see one of those little whiteboard presentations that they do where they draw really fast and it's, that's what you need is something like draw,
Can't you do that? Don't you have like Philippine draw whiteboard people or something?
I used to, then they didn't do a very good, it took like forever, and it was like gigantic.
Well,
and actually,
you
guys
can do it.
Yeah, well, I do have a whiteboard video that I did on the Fed about 2 years break down the math. Now, this wasn't talking about the bonds extinguishing from their balance sheet, but I think it does a pretty good job of explaining how things work. But yeah, I can send it over to Donna if you want. Let's see, I know you guys have posted it before.
Well, yeah. I need you to what we just did. They keep going the Fed's balance sheet, the Fed's balance sheet. That's never defined. They didn't have it before. You know, now they got it. Where did it come from? How much was it before and up and down? And what do they use it to do? And kind of, and then they, because they go, all right, we will buy your debt. It's on our balance sheet now. Where did that money come from? Who did it go to? Now that they bought it, then it's going to come due and it needs to be, because it comes with interest. So that's the investment. Okay, now I want to sell it or it comes due or pay it off or something. Comes due to whom? Then who pays for it? The taxpayer plus interest. Yeah. I mean, taxpayer plus interest. Yeah. I mean, they just keep on going. What kind of bullshit is that?
And the big banks get a 6% dividend of all the interest from that debt.
Every time they do this, they just make bank. And they just really make bank. I mean, they're making the money. And it's just a perpetual. They keep rolling over. They keep making the more money. It is unsustainable. And they go, we're getting it off our balance sheet. To whom? To me. To my kid. I need this understood. Because whenever anybody talks about this, without this one point right here, without that understood, just blah, 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 doesn't mean anything. Because it's just ratcheting up this big giant, and it's going to be a sovereign debt that we can never pay, and it's always we've been counting on. I remember when the 30-year Treasury was up to 8-point-something% in the early 90s, or 90, around in there. And I was dealing with U.S. Senator Dennis Giacconsini, and he had a guy named Tim Carlsgaard, who was economic advisor on that committee. We were doing some other trade stuff, and he was really distracted one day. He was freaking out. He didn't know what the hell to do. He was asses and elbows trying to lobby for do something. I'm like, what's freaking you out, man? What's going on? 30-year Treasury is at 8%. We can't afford that.
Yeah.
You know, we do that. That's death spiral, man. That's, you know, Perot money. You know, and Ross Perot's going, let me tell you about this chart. We got a long-term debt with short-term debt with long-term private kind of going, we're going to get bankrupt. Let me show you my chart. Okay? That's what all that was about, and now it's coming to fruition. And he warned it, you know, what was happening. So I go, okay, well, when Greece went to 6% and Italy did, everybody freaked the F out. And I remember when it was 8% or something here. I remember when the interest rate was 16% in the early 80s. And nobody, that'll never happen. Bullshit. You know, it's like you say, you got to save the stock market, bond market, or the dollar. And they raise interest rates, kind of, you know, kick the can down the road. But I'm looking at this balance sheet thing, there is no limit to it, way they're doing it, because they indebt us to buy this crap from the bank, which they're going to do again, because they already got the SNL thing was just a dry run for this. So they got all these other assets again. They're going to pull it on the balance sheet. I got this. How'd you pay for that? Tax money. Then when it comes due, who's supposed to do that? Well, it's a bond that's a U.S. government thing. Where do they get the money? They create it again, and there's more interest in the more people, and we get screwed. And then we get foreclosed on and kicked out of our house. The banks go and sell that again and get the money. This is unsustainable, and it's not understood, and I need it understood in a freaking whiteboard thing, because you're not allowed to come on the show anymore and just say balance sheet, because that don't mean shit.
Do you ever think there's a reason why they don't teach this in high school?
Hell, they didn't teach it in heaven. He's all certified. Yeah,
those kids graduate.
I was in the class that won the national competition against Harvard and Yale and MIT, and they didn't teach it to me. So, you know, who the hell are they going to teach it to?
I need to know about this balance sheet everybody keeps talking about, because I can feel that that is the key to a lot of this stuff. I'm like, what the hell?
Happy birthday, Donna.
Said happy birthday.
Oh, thank you.
So Frank's going to do Skype.
That's what he said. I can get both of them on at the same time.
Nah, it's not through this. Okay. If it does Zoom. All right, man. Thanks, Tim. And that's the next. That's your assignment for next week. Balance sheet. Blah, 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 blah. All this other stuff don't mean squat if I don't know what the hell you're talking about, the balance sheet. Can you do that for me?
What eventually means is that eventually the stock market is going to be probably through the absolute roof, because we're going to be, the balance sheet's eventually going to probably be, you know, $100 trillion, and there's going to be no end to this, and it's going to be
fine. What balance sheet? What is that? Where's that sheet? Who holds that sheet? Who has to pay off that sheet? This sheet thing. Yeah, you are tasked with that, because I am tired of hearing this and not knowing what the hell you're talking about.
Tasking me with some sheet. Yeah, okay. All right. Bye, Bob.
Get the sheet job.
See you later, man.
Yeah. Bye, Bob.
Get the sheet job.
See you later, man.
Yeah.
Thank you for listening to the show. One of the ways you can help support the show is by seeing if it makes sense to invest with myself. I'm a certified financial planner with Innovative Advisory Group, LLC. Innovative specializes in self-directed IRAs where you can invest into virtually anything, including virtual assets and cryptocurrencies inside your retirement accounts. And get this, you can actually hold on to the private key. And that's something that nobody else is doing, at least with the help of an advisor. We also run protective growth portfolios where you invest a small amount of your portfolio into put options, and while the rest, and that basically helps protect the rest of the portfolio. Not very many people are familiar with put options, but a lot of people are familiar with homeowners insurance, and it works in a very similar fashion. So essentially what you're doing is using a very, very small percentage of basically, you know, the value of the home to protect the rest of the home. And if the house doesn't burn down or there isn't a major catastrophe, then you're basically out on the cost of the insurance. Flip side on, you know, if your house ends up burning down, well, then you build your house back. And that's really the same thing that's going on here. So if the market ends up tanking and we know the most that you can possibly lose on your investment, and honestly, if the market were to go down 60-70%, and you're only down single digits potentially, then that's an amazing buying opportunity. Lord Nathan Rothschild said it best, that the best time to invest is when there's blood in the streets. But if your money goes down with everybody else's, then you're not able to take advantage of the next crisis. And also, if you're just camping out in cash or in bonds, making next to nothing, you could be going broke safely for a very long time. And then you've got to know when to time the market. And that's something that basically nobody can do. Now, on the flip side, if I'm wrong in all this and the market keeps going higher, or the Federal Reserve comes out, or the European Central Bank comes out and says, hey, we're going to print a whole bunch more money, and the market goes to infinity, well, then you'll go up to infinity minus the cost of that put option. So I think that this is a great strategy that you definitely want to learn more about. I mean, just given the craziness that's going on right now, if you're heavy into cash right now, heavy into bonds, or even heavy into stocks, especially if you're close to actually needing those funds for retirement, or just needing those funds in general, maybe for a big project, or maybe you work on a crypto and you raised a whole bunch of money, that this is something that we can help protect yourself and protect your loved ones. And there's nothing you have to lose by scheduling a free consultation with us. And actually, there's a chance you could lose a lot by not talking with us in general. If you go and click on our website in the upper right hand corner, there's a Work with Tim button up there. You can see all of our plans, ways we work with our clients. Pricing can all be found there. And given that I'm sort of out there on a lot of different political issues, I know that I'm not going to be for everybody. You know, that's sort of my way of qualifying you, not the other way around. But, you know, I'm fine. I'm not trying to have all six billion people out there like me. And I'm here to really, at the end of the day, to tell the truth and to make money, not necessarily make friends. So head over to thelibertyadvisor.com and let's see what we can do for you. Thank you.